from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Welcome back to hour number 2 of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number 2, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. This is the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We're hanging out with you until noon, then D'Lo and KC will take over. We got a ton to get to here in the second hour, but before we get back into our Kings offseason stuff, we got to talk about the Pelicans and the Grizzlies. Those are the two teams left that we will dive into for potential Kings offseason acquisitions. Apparently, after Anthony Edwards made this phrase famous last night.
Bring your ass.
Famous on a national scale. Bringyourass.com now redirects you to the Minnesota tourism website.
That's spectacular.
After this exchange.
I have not been to Minnesota in probably 20 years.
Bring your ass.
Hey.
Bring your ass.
Hey, Brian, I checked the URL first. We were good. Brian said it was brave of me to check that link at work.
Yeah.
But with the way Twitter is, it drops what the website is below it. So I was good. Plus, I checked the URL.
All right.
We're good.
You're good.
And I had a good excuse if it wasn't right. And that would have been a great troll job. I would have gotten got. And
that's right.
That's the way it goes sometimes. All right, let's stay in the Southwest. Let's go to the Pelicans. Actually, you know what? We're going to put a pin in the Pelicans. Let's go to the Grizzlies real quick.
Okay.
Brandon Clark, Santi Aldama, the two players you have listed for the Kings. Mm-hmm. Brandon Clark's got 3 years, $37.5 million left on his deal. I don't know what he will look like post-Achilles.
Yeah, that's always a concern.
But that is the exact type of player I would love to see the Kings have.
Yeah.
Where it's just an energy big, he's going to catch some lobs, he's going to play some defense, and you know you're going to get, when he's out on the floor, you just know you're going to get some really good minutes from him.
Yeah, he's kind of like a poor man's Aaron Gordon without the three-point shot.
Sure.
I mean, like, look, he does a little of everything. He can block shots. He can rebound. He's super, super physical. Kings fans have seen him just run them over, run the Kings over multiple times. He also, like, on a side note, his mom and stepdad live in Lake of the Pines, where I live.
Oh.
So anytime he's in town, there's a huge contingency from the lake. At the game.
Oh, like, that's cool.
Yeah, 40, 50 tickets. He did not grow up here, but his younger brother did.
He did play in 6 games this year. That's my mistake. He returned this year. He played 6 games. That's
yeah,
right.
He came back at the end.
Yeah. But yeah. Came right back, 11 points, 5 rebounds, just right there with his career numbers.
Yeah, and the other guy is, Santi Aldama is really intriguing.
Kind of like Santi.
Yeah, he's 6'11", power forward. He's only 23 years old, out of Spain. And the dude, you know, 10.7 points, 5.8 rebounds, 2.3 assists, almost a block per game. He kind of checks a lot of boxes. And if he weren't in a situation that was really chaotic and not very good for anybody mm-hmm. this last year, he probably would have shot better than 34.9% from three.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's like an up-and-coming stretch four
yeah.
that might really, really look good next to, you know, next to Mr. Sabonis.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if you could get him out of there. And he's on a one-year deal, and after that, he's a restricted free agent.
Yeah.
He basically is on his rookie scale contract. He was the 30th pick in the 2021 NBA draft.
Yeah, and that's where these are tough.
Yeah.
Because for all the reasons we're like, hey, he'd be a nice young piece to add.
Yeah.
It's exactly why the Grizzlies want him. It's exactly. But to piggyback off your discussion point here, that type of player, when we talk about bigs who could play alongside Domas,
mm-hmm.
it's like that's the exact he can stretch the floor for you. B, he's put the ball in the basket around the rim too.
Yep.
He's not just an outside shooter. Not afraid to mix it up. Like, he'll get in somebody's face. I really love the idea of Santi Aldama, even if he specifically isn't available.
Yeah. He's probably going to be difficult to get out of there.
Yeah.
The last thing I'll add to Brandon Clarke too,
mm-hmm.
Brandon Clarke makes $12.5 million in each of the next 3 years. And again, he's coming off an Achilles, so I'd be very cautious with that one.
Mm-hmm.
But that $12.5 million is less than the mid-level exception, which means you could acquire him without giving anything back and acquire him into the mid-level exception. You mm-hmm. could also trade him, like trade a guy like Chris Duarte at $6 million, mm-hmm. and it would be super close to like the doubling of his contract. So there's a possibility
That's
you could probably get him for less than what you think.
That's very, very interesting. And again, the Grizzlies, another team, this entire division, another team that I have no idea. Do they think that Ja is going to come back and they're just going to be good to go and they're going to be a top two seed again?
Mm.
Or are they looking at not necessarily a rebuild, but some kind of retooling to their roster?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Very difficult.
If Brandon Clarke's available, though, I'm all in for the Kings to go get him. 1,000%. Right there.
I would worry about, 27 years old going on 28 with the Achilles.
Finally, we have the Pelicans here with a couple of minutes left. We have discussed Brandon Ingram ad nauseum.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get him.
Yep.
In a vacuum, he's the type of player that when I say I need to keep in mind how a player fits in a specific situation, I think in a vacuum, I'm not going and getting Brandon Ingram. But with how he would fit specifically with Sacramento and the role they would need him to play, if I was a team like, Portland, where I'm going, hey, I'm going to build around him as my star,
mm-hmm.
then I'm out. But if you get him in Sacramento where he is the second, third option, you hopefully get him to crank up the defensive intensity in a big spot, close game, when you need to just say, hey, somebody go get us a bucket.
Mm-hmm.
You know that he can get to his spots and get a bucket. I like the Brandon Ingram idea. I don't really have a ton else.
Yeah, he gives you something different that you don't have.
Yeah.
He's a guy who can create off the bounce. And not only that, but look at his assist numbers. Like, very, very shocking mm-hmm. what his assist numbers have jumped to. And
really effective as a playmaker.
Yeah, that's where I kind of equate him a little bit to Chris Middleton. Like, the 5.7 assists per game, man,
mm-hmm.
that's big. And if you had him playing with a big who passes like Sabonis,
mm-hmm.
I think that 35.5% from three would jump back up to like the 39% he shot the previous season.
Yeah, I don't know specifically. I don't know if Willsie's in the chat, but I don't have his catch and shoot numbers. I'd be interested to see those.
Yeah.
Because I'm guessing most of his threes are like off the dribble right now. But,
probably.
I'm not totally sure on that, but yeah, I'm in on Brandon Ingram. Jonas Valanciunas is the other one. Unrestricted free agent. The Kings are the betting favorite to land Valanciunas. Does he fit? Can he and Sabonis play next to each other? Are we just going to go full grit and grind Kings?
I think they can. So I
please explain.
Like, other people don't believe. They're not on the same page. First of all, Valanciunas has played next to like Zion Williamson,
uh-huh.
which again isn't he's a big
mm-hmm.
right, who goes at the basket all the time.
He's
anytime he takes a three, everyone in the whole building, at least in the visiting team, is cheering.
Yeah.
Like, he's just not very, very, like, refined as a three-point shooter. I think he fits, and he improves a position. The question is, can you get enough minutes? Can he fit alongside Domantas Sabonis? He only averaged like 24 minutes a game this last season, 23.5. But you're talking about a career triple double. I mean, a career double double guy, a guy who can block shots, a guy who on occasion can hit a three. He's a 34.8% 3-point shooter.
He's like Domas, though. He doesn't take him enough to be a credible threat.
No, that's true. That's true. But I would also say, like, people are missing that him and Domas are super close. They play on the Lithuanian national team together. Mm-hmm. They will play together if Lithuania is in the Olympics. They'll play together. They'll play alongside each other. Like, they have played together before. They know how to play with each other. I think this is one of those deals where I think people are just looking at the fact that they're both gigantic humans and how will that work. But don't, like, the Minnesota Timberwolves have Karl Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert starting alongside each other? You know, this is something that is happening in the league. There could be a point where you could play them 3 to 4 minutes a half, and that could easily get him up to the 20-minute per game mark if he plays backup center minutes and then steals some minutes. And he's mean. He's mean-spirited. I know a lot of people.
He's tough, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. I know a lot of people don't love him because of the Chimezie Metu situation. But, like, look, this is a player. He's 32 years old. He's going to take way less money than he's made in the past. I don't know if you can get him for, like, a two-year, $15 million deal or something, like, bite out a chunk out of your mid-level exception. Yeah. But I do think that he's an unrestricted free agent. And I think you can bring him in. And I just think he's an upgrade. He is an upgrade. He's a more stable version.
He's definitely the best second big they will have had next to Domas.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, without question.
Yeah, without any question. He's better than Mason Plumlee. He's better than Alex Len. You know, we could keep listing. He's better than JaVale McGee. We can keep listing on who he's better than. But I also, like, he sets mean screens. And he would. And if somehow Domantas Sabonis doesn't play 82 games, he steps in and starts for you any question. Yeah, incredible starter.
Okay. We'll continue discussing that next. We got good idea or bad idea, and there's a Jonas Valanciunas segment there, so I will save my thoughts for that. A good idea or bad idea, including Mike Malone being a jerk, Jonas Valanciunas, and Red Lobster. We'll talk about it next on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader.
Yes.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
We'll get some of the post-game sound from last night. The Nuggets and Timberwolves. In fact, you know what? We're going to do some of that right now. We got good idea or bad idea. Every day, we do this. It's three headlines, and we say whether the thing in that headline is either a good idea or a bad idea. Michael Malone, the head coach of the Denver Nuggets, what?
I'm just laughing at your good idea, bad ideas.
Thanks, man. I'm pretty fired up about it. I worked hard on it. Also, we'll get a check on unread emails on James' phone coming up. Stay tuned for that. Make sure you're sitting down when you hear whatever the number is. Michael Malone, head coach of the Denver Nuggets, was asked in his post-game press conference after his team blew a 20-point lead and lost 98-90 in Game 7 at home to the Minnesota Timberwolves. Denver's title defense is over. He was asked how he is absorbing the loss after blowing a 20-point lead. Here's what he said.
Next question, man. The season's over. That's what's hard. Being up 20. The season's over. You don't understand that. The season's over. It's hard. Stupid-ass questions.
Michael Malone, good idea or bad idea to be a jerk to reporters in that setting?
I think it's a... I mean, clearly it's a bad idea.
Stupid-ass questions.
But I also think, like, I do prescribe to the fact that there are stupid questions.
Definitely.
And there are stupid people who ask questions.
Sure.
And so there, this whole there is no stupid question thing. Oh, no, there are.
In some cases, there are.
There
Definitely.
Are. Like, I've been in plenty of scrums where it was like, oh, well, that was a stupid question.
When I'm teaching, if I'm teaching somebody something about this job, like the board, no stupid questions. ask any question you have.
Mm-hmm.
In a press conference, there's some stupid questions.
Yeah. No, there are. There are some stupid questions, and it's just kind of the way it goes. I don't know. It's a raw moment. It doesn't look good for on Michael mm-hmm. Malone, especially because he's a guy who talks with a lot of force, and he does big talk, and
yes.
he's a guy who's very passionate about what he does. Mm-hmm. Like, I know him really well. I covered him for a year and, I don't know, 24 yeah. games here in Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a moment where you got to step back and say, man, I can't come off like that. I don't want to look like you're taking away from
sure.
what Minnesota's doing, or you're taking away from the moment.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think I appreciate the honesty.
Yeah.
And just the kind of being himself. And you know the reporter, when they say, how are you absorbing this loss? He's expecting a quote where Mike Malone is going to go, you know, it's tough. It's tough losing a game like that. And da-da-da-da. Because they had, you know, that quote carved out in their story. But to me, I mean, you can still get a story out of this.
Mm-hmm.
It's still very interesting that was his response. But like you said, you gotta know the situation. And I know that it's tough in that spot, but probably not a great idea to say stupid ass questions in post game press.
That was what was
stupid ass questions.
That was in his head. If he wouldn't have said that,
yes, 1,000%.
I think he would have been totally fine.
That's the most abrasive part to me.
Yeah,
nothing else about that answer was. But he does start. He goes, next question.
Yeah,
and then it's like, well, I got to say something. Man, tough look for Mike Malone. Number two. Nope, that's not the right one. There it is. That's the right one. Jonas Valanciunas to the Kings. James, you have said it's a good idea. I think it's a fine idea. I think it's okay. I don't know how much better. I don't think the idea of just throwing two bigs together works. Like, Rudy Gobert and Karl-Anthony Towns can play together because they can do two very different things on a basketball court.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives you some options and different things you can do with your rotations. And I think we saw Chris Finch kind of take advantage of that throughout the seven games with Denver. But on the other hand, Karl-Anthony Towns can hang out on the perimeter and effectively play point guard for an entire game while Rudy Gobert hangs out inside.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that you're maximizing Jonas Valanciunas or Domantas Sabonis if you're having them play like that. Like, if you're having Domantas Sabonis do a dribble handoff and then he just stands at the top of the key, I don't think that helps the Kings offense that much.
No, but again, I would just, look, this is a guy who averaged, less than 24 minutes a game last season.
Mm-hmm.
He's 32 years old. He would have to accept a role. That role would be to play, you know, the 13 minutes, 14 mm-hmm. minutes a game that Domantas Sabonis is off the court.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, he would have to find a way to 2-3 minutes a half to play mm-hmm. alongside Sabonis in order to get to his 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And so, do I think it's a perfect fit? Mm-hmm. No. But I also think, look, we talk about this all the time. The Kings don't just need long, athletic shot blockers. Mm-hmm. They need toughness.
Yeah.
And this dude is a tough hombre.
And he's definitely, and this is something you talked about last segment, they just need a better roster. I'm just picking a number. 11 spots on their roster.
Mm-hmm.
10, 11 spots. They just need better players. Anywhere you can get an upgrade, you'll take it.
Yeah, I totally agree. And even if you look at the Alex Len situation throughout this season, mm-hmm. Alex Len was the ninth man.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
By the end of the year, yeah.
Valanciunas is going to be on your roster, your seventh guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just a better, more seasoned, he's just a better overall player.
Mm-hmm.
He's proven to be that throughout his career.
Yeah.
He's not a career backup. He's a career starter that might be willing to take a career backup role to play with his friend.
Yeah.
Maybe. Sure.
Last one, number three. Yeah, it's a good idea. You just need to upgrade your roster, and he would definitely be an upgrade. Number three, Red Lobster is filing for bankruptcy after a failed all-you-can-eat shrimp promotion. All-you-can-eat shrimp, James. Good idea or bad idea?
It sounds so good. I love shrimp, but as a business decision, shrimp's expensive. I don't know.
Shrimp is expensive, and also when I don't want to throw shade at Red Lobster because God knows the cheddar biscuits are among the finest things in casual dining. And I'm not even above Olive Garden, to be honest with you. I'll rock some Olive Garden. I'll rock with some Red Lobster. But all you can eat, I don't think that's appealing to the right audience. I don't think anybody's like, oh, hey, I'm going to go to Red Lobster now because of the all-you-can-eat shrimp.
Well, it's a challenge, man.
And now you're probably buying more shrimp than you probably need. You're probably throwing out a bunch of shrimp.
I mean, really, they're putting out a challenge. Like, it's all you can, like, okay, I'm in.
Like, I'm out.
I can eat like 47 pounds of shrimp.
I'm not above, no doubt, but not from
the business perspective.
That establishment.
Okay. No, I mean, I get what you're saying.
I don't know, man. I just don't. How many people, because no, but that's just it, is you call it a challenge. So you're going to get people who go in there and probably eat way more. Their goal is, hey, we're going to get people in the door. They're going to pay for all you can eat shrimp, but they're going to eat like $4 worth of shrimp and they're going to pay us however much and we're going to just rake in the cash. Anybody who's going there to do that, nobody's like, I have a hankering for shrimp today. I'm hitting Red Lobster. And I'm going to eat a normal amount of shrimp. Like, no, they're either going to say challenge accepted and they're going to eat a million pounds of shrimp.
Yes.
Or they're not going to go. It's a bad idea. It's a poor idea.
I think what you're trying to get, though, is you're trying to get one person who's up for the challenge and then three other people who are like, yeah, I'm not a shrimp guy. I'll go with you, but I'm going to have the steak and lobster or I'm going to have something else.
I guess, dude, hit me if you're like, hey, all you can eat, I know they already are, but work with me. All you can eat. Cheddar biscuits. You can take them to go. We're just going to keep your table loaded with cheddar biscuits. Then I'm in there.
You're in.
Then I'm in there. All you can eat shrimp. Tough idea. Sad it didn't work out for Red Lobster. But fingers crossed for their future success as a business. What's our unread email count? We only have one missed call.
71,669.
Good God.
That's non-winning behavior in our building.
We have to go. That made me depressed. 72,000 unread emails. It's ridiculous.
That's just the truth, dog.
All right, we gotta go. We'll be back in a second.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
We lost last year.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I'm Kyle, he's James. Jiffy Lube, that's the sponsor. Shout out to them. We've been talking a ton of... There we go. That was weird. The music wasn't turning down in my ears. I did not like that.
Oh. It started to fade over here.
That's fine. No, we're good now. Right. I just wasn't hearing it. It's all good. Perils of doing the show the way that we do it. All right, he's James, I'm Kyle. We've got some NBA playoff stuff left to get to from last night. I'm going to play this clip again. This is Karl-Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards in their post-game press conference following last night's 98-90 win over the Nuggets to punch their tickets to the Western Conference Finals. There's a little bit of the question in here and then the response from Anthony Edwards and Karl-Anthony Towns. And then I want to discuss what the reporter was asking.
And usually in NBA history, it says you have to lose and lose big before you win. What is it about this team that says...
We lost last year.
Yeah, but that's different. You have to lose at a bigger stage. Usually, teams... usually.
It's the playoffs. We lost last year.
We lost the last 2 years.
God damn. How much more we got to lose?
Yeah, how much you want us to lose?
We've been losing for 20 years.
I mean, that's just the truth, dog.
God damn.
So I think this is really interesting because it's something we talked about a lot, not you and me, but people talked about a lot leading up to the Kings-Warriors series. It's like, hey, there's a trajectory here. And this isn't going to be the year they make a run. Maybe they can win around this and that. And then this year we talked about, okay, the experience, and we've talked about it not just with the Kings, but with OKC versus Dallas. We talked about it with the Pacers a couple of times, and you know they've made their run to the Eastern Conference Finals, which is really cool for them. But we always talk about this experience and these steps toward contending. And I think Karl-Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards ask a really interesting question there because it's not anything we really ever consider. Because it feels like there's either a linear path forward where you just kind of see it with a team and you go, you know what? Hey, Oklahoma City this year. Like, yeah, they lost in the second round, but hey, you see it with them moving forward. They're coming.
Mm-hmm.
But with Minnesota, they've lost in the playoffs the last couple of years. They got ousted by Denver last year and gave Denver, you know, quote unquote, a good series. They won a game against Denver. And now they're still being asked, like, hey, this is abnormal. Usually you have to lose big first before you make this kind of run. And they ask the right question, like, how much are we supposed to lose?
Yeah, I totally get it. But I also, I understand the question.
Yeah, definitely.
But I also understand the answer. Because, like, look, this is a team that lost in the first round the last 2 years,
mm-hmm.
right? Under the same coach. With the same basic
mm-hmm.
roster, except for Gobert wasn't there the year before, and you know, so you're building something.
Mm-hmm.
But for them to take this leap right here, to me, it's not as big because they had been in the playoffs a couple of times.
Yeah,
right. So you were just waiting to get over the hump. They got mm-hmm. over the hump. Now it doesn't usually mean that you go straight to the NBA Finals, but it doesn't mean that you can't.
Yeah.
So I just think that there are expectations as much as any league. The NBA, there are like, you get to a certain plateau,
mm-hmm.
and then you take your lumps, and then mm-hmm. you move up, and you take your lumps,
yeah.
And, you know, and then next thing you know, you find a way to get over the hump.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, that's this league. It mm-hmm. doesn't mean that it has to be, that's the only way. There's always going to be outliers.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I think it's okay to expect that, like, especially as a journalist, you're like, okay, this is kind of rare for a team to go... to skip a couple of steps. And But at the same time, maybe you're not looking at the total of what's happened here.
Yeah.
They haven't skipped steps as much as they're just on the right path right now.
Yeah, right. That's it right there.
Mm-hmm.
Is maybe they just ran into Denver last year, and Denver was the team that was going to run through them like a buzzsaw, but maybe they went around last year. And had they won around last year, we would be talking about this differently.
Oh, no, it wouldn't even be a question. If they would have made it to the second round last year, which is just what they just won. They just won the second round.
Right.
Like, that's what...
they're at the conference finals.
You're hoping that the Kings would, like, somehow get to this... That was the second round. You just saw
it. Yeah, they just did it.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, I think the more impressive thing is that they went on the road in Denver...
Yes.
...and came back from 20 down against the defending champs. Like, that's the impressive thing. I'm way more interested... in what changed from last year. I would like to know how they evaluate how they got to this point. Because that they got to this point is not that big of a surprise when you kind of look at the totality of, okay, Anthony Edwards is in year
three.
Four?
I think it's year three. Maybe I'm wrong.
Year four? Year three? I think it's year four. Whatever it is. They're in year three of making the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And you've seen this trajectory with Anthony Edwards.
What is year four?
You've been waiting for Karl-Anthony Towns to kind of break out and become this player, because that's always been the thing with him, is can he step up in a big moment? He did last night. Rudy Gobert, can he stay on the court in a playoff series? Can he be effective in a playoff series? And he was. Like, there's all these things that you, like you said, when you take a step back from your preseason expectations and you just kind of look at their path, this makes sense. This makes a ton of sense. If the Kings make a couple of tweaks this offseason and they're like, yes, these were the right moves, and they're in the conference finals next year, I think a lot of people will be like, wow, what a crazy leap. When in reality, like, nope, this is year three. They had a little bit of a step backwards last year where they didn't make the playoffs, but hey, they...
But they were still a play-in team.
Yeah,
they still won 46 games.
Right, they kept the basic foundations of their roster.
Yeah.
And they moved forward. I mean, they didn't make the first round of the playoffs like the Timberwolves did 2 years in a row. But they were just kind of right there. And you saw the trajectory, and you saw the path forward. Like, that's I think, what's more important. And I think I personally don't want to speak for anybody else, but I think I wrote Minnesota off too early because of... Yeah, Karl-Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert, I've just kind of seen that movie. I know what it is, without taking into account the fact that Minnesota, like we talk about with the Kings, had this vision. They had a road that they were traveling down. And I don't think two first-round exits, I don't think you're necessarily beholden to, you have to... Because the reporter said, usually you lose at a much higher stage. You don't have to lose the finals. You don't have to lose in the conference finals. There's no like rule that says that.
Yeah.
Golden State, before they went on their run, lost in the second round and then the first round. Mm. They went backwards, quote unquote. And then they changed their coach and they won a title.
Yeah.
So I thought it was really interesting that the question was, hey, you guys have skipped steps, and not, hey, how did you go from losing in the first round in two straight years to getting to the conference finals?
Yeah, like maybe a better question, what do you think it was that happened here that allowed you to break through that
first
round?
Yes, exactly, exactly.
Right? So that might have been a better way to phrase that.
Because I think that's I'm a visual learner. So I think every team, when they make the playoffs, hits this invisible barrier. And that's just it. It's breaking through that barrier.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that means, okay, maybe you lost in the second round, or maybe you lost in the conference finals. But whatever it is, at some point, something happens that allows you to break through that barrier. And it's definitely not moving on in the playoffs. Because the Pacers, to me, I'm not going, oh, the Pacers broke through.
No.
The Pacers figured it out. How did they do this? Like, well, they played a beat-up Milwaukee Bucks team. And then Andrew Nembhard hit a ridiculous shot in game three against the Knicks. And then the Knicks started getting hurt and running out of gas, and the Pacers stomped them in a game seven, in a one-game playoff, basically.
Yeah, where their starting small forward played 5 minutes,
and
their star point guard broke his hand and wasn't able to finish the game.
Yeah, and look, I don't...
They could have won either way.
The reason, sure.
Yeah.
And the reason this is so fun is because we don't know. We can guess, and we can have takes and thoughts and opinions and ideas,
yeah.
But we don't know. That's why sports are great. Maybe the Pacers go in and they beat the Celtics in six. I wouldn't bet on it. But that's on the table. That is within the realm of outcomes. And maybe the Pacers have just broken through and we haven't seen it yet. But again, when you zoom out and there's not the traditional roadmap for the Pacers. So for the Pacers, it's like, whoa, that to me is much more of a, hey, you're early. Why are you here? This is not how the script is supposed to go.
Yeah.
But with the Timberwolves, it's not. I think Karl Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards make a great point. Like, how much are we supposed to lose first?
Yeah.
We're losing for 20 years.
Why not us?
Yeah.
No, I totally get that. And the same thing, you know, like how it would pertain to the Kings. Like, I don't think if they would have beat the Warriors last year and gone on to the the second round where they would have played the Lakers,
who they had
ownership matchup of, and it was a good matchup. And if they would have somehow made it through the Lakers and made it to the Western Conference Finals, I think we would have felt a lot the exact same way that we feel about the Indiana Pacers, not the way we feel about the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yeah.
And that's not to be disrespectful. It's like, hey, you guys just won 18 more games this season than you did the year before, and now you won a first-round series, and now you played a Lakers team that's aging, and you won a second-round series.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how did you get here?
Yeah, like, definitely.
That would have been the same exact
100%.
Thing. 100%. Like, and if they would have done that this year, everyone would have been like, okay, well, we saw where you were going.
Right.
Even if the Kings would have made it to the second round this year and would have won the second round, I think we would have felt a little closer to the way we feel about Minnesota.
Yes,
it's just that first time, the breakthrough. And again, I think everyone can look at the path that Indiana's taken. And it's not their path that they chose. It's a path that's been laid out in front of them, that they played a Milwaukee Bucks team that lost their two superstars.
Mm-hmm.
And then, again, they play a Knicks team that just falls apart, completely falls apart.
Like, yeah.
Like, just physically. Mm-hmm. Physically fell apart.
Yeah.
I mean, even look at Josh Hart's stats for yesterday. He plays like 37 minutes, but he has 8 rebounds.
Yeah.
The dude's averaging like 15 rebounds a game almost for the series.
He was not right.
Yeah, he wasn't right. And that's partially because they had all this accumulation of injuries. It's partially because their head coach can't play other people.
Yeah.
So.
Really cool moment, by the way, when he checked out and got the standing ovation.
Mm.
I rocked with that.
Yeah.
That was really, really cool that the New York crowd gave Josh Hart that standing ovation. He was walking off. Shout out to Madison Square Garden. Shout out to them. Yeah, and the difference is, like I said, I'm buying in on Oklahoma City, Dallas, and Minnesota.
Yeah.
When we're talking about the West and where the Kings sit throughout this offseason and going into next year, those are the teams that are going to be mentioned as the top teams in the West, and so's Denver. They're still very much going to be around. They're still very much going
to
be there.
Those are the three you need to find a way to get as good as those three.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
That's it. Like, I don't care about anyone else, really.
Mm-hmm.
Those three, you need to find a way to catch up.
Yep. And Minnesota is there now.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure both of us before the year were like, yeah, I'm not buying Minnesota.
Yeah.
I don't see it. And here they are. All right, they're here. Whereas Indiana, next year, I'm not going, hey, all right, well, pencil Indiana into the conference finals.
No. But if they made it next year, I'd be more
definitely
understanding of the path that they got there. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Anyways.
That's just the truth, dog.
Thank you to the Timberwolves for the excellent drops. All right. Explain this to me like I'm five. Something we're going to do each day, not throughout the offseason. I don't think I have that many questions, but I just have various questions about the NBA salary cap and how it works.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an NFL guy where the salary cap is what it is, and there's different machinations and different things you can do to move money around, but it's just the salary cap. In the NBA, it's very different. It's a soft cap, and there's all these luxury taxes and aprons, and there's mid-level exceptions and biannual exceptions and all this language, so I'm just picking a few things out. And I'm having James explain them to me like I'm five, and hopefully I learn stuff, and hopefully you as well learn things. Okay, we always talk about the MLE.
Yes.
The mid-level exception. You hear about this all the time. You can accept them into the mid-level. They have their mid-level exception. They don't. What the hell is it?
Okay, so basically mid-level, if I'm not mistaken, was created like when the salary cap was much lower.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to a certain point where you basically, when you get to a certain dollar amount, they would say, okay, look, you can't go above that. You don't have any other ways to go above the salary cap. But for the sake of keeping your team like competitive, we're going to allow you to sign one more player and that player is up to $5 million. That's where it used to be. Like, and I used to call it death by mid-level because the Kings, when they were coming to an end of their playoff run, they were grasping at straws trying to remain like competitive, like in the general conversation.
Yes, trying to get back in the playoffs.
Exactly. They kept thinking, oh, I'm one piece away, I'm one piece away. So they would do these crazy signings with mid-level exceptions, and they did a bunch of them. So whether it was Sharif Abdul-Rahim or Mikey Moore, and basically you just kept burning salary, but then you'd have other salary fall off the books, but now you've got this new salary. And as opposed to going out and trying to trade or sign a $15 million player, you would have three $5 million players and you would be stuck perpetually around the number seven pick in the draft.
Brutal. Yeah.
Yeah. It's death by mid-level. The new mid-level, the way it acts now is it does give teams that are over the cap but under the luxury tax an opportunity to go out and sign a player for, it's based on a percentage of the cap and it keeps going up. At this point, the mid-level exception is for this season is $12.9 million.
And it does not count against the salary cap.
Well, it counts against the salary cap, and it counts against all of your other things, but it allows you to go over the salary cap to sign a new player.
Got it.
And the mid-level is kind of crafty.
So you can't sign your own guy into the mid-level.
Well, you can if he doesn't have years of service, right? So for a guy like Malik Monk, the Kings could give Malik Monk a mid-level exception right now for this year.
Right.
Yeah, but it's limited. So it's up to 4 years, but it also, I think it has to be 2 years guaranteed, just like the what we call the early bird exception.
Sure.
Right? So the mid-level exception, it kind of lives now in this weird space because, number one, you can break it up into multiple pieces. So the key is that the mid-level, as opposed to most exceptions, is good for a contract up to 8 years. I mean, up to 4 years. I'm sorry, 4 years.
I see.
Right? So you could sign two players for $6 million piece. You can sign an $8 million, $4 million player. You can sign a $10 million player and a $2.9 million player. There's all these ways in which you can do it. And then this year, the NBA added the other element to the mid-level exception, and that is that you can use it as a trade chip. So you can actually trade for a player as long as he isn't under contract for more than 4 years and as long as his starting salary isn't higher than the starting salary of the mid-level exception, you can sign that. So you can trade for a $12.9 million player with your mid-level and not give anything back to the other team. Most teams would be like, hey, I'm going to want a pick or I'm going to want something. But it's also possible you run into a team that is trying to clear space for some reason, or whether it be because they're over the cap or because they have another player they want to sign, and you can absorb a player into the mid-level exception. It's the biggest of the exceptions, but there are some qualifiers. If you're under the cap, if you're a room team, you're way under the cap, your mid-level exception is only like $8 million. And then if you're a taxpayer team, you're over the tax but under the aprons, you have your mid-level drops to $5.2
million. Okay.
If you're over the second apron, your mid-level is gone. If you're over the second apron, the only thing you can sign is a league minimum contract.
Jesus.
But that's league minimum for years of service. So like a 10-year vet league minimum is like $3.2 million versus a first-year player league minimum is $1.1 million, $1.2. So you still get the ability to sign any of those like minimum scale contracts.
Sure.
Yeah, so the mid-level is a very powerful tool that can help a team like the Kings go out and find like a player that they can pay like 4 years and over $50 million.
Yeah.
Like there are plenty of players out there who would love a mid-level exception.
No doubt.
At this point.
Cody Martin.
There you go.
Just throwing one out there. Kenny Caraway, it's time for the handoff. Kenny Caraway in the building. D'Lo and KC coming up next.
What up?
Dude. Timberwolves, man.
Hey, man, I see you repping.
That was wild.
I see you repping.
Yeah, man, love my Wolves.
I've been having my ear to the street of Minnesota, you know, for the last week or so. That's what I do. You know, when things are buzzing, you know, you can watch your first take, so you can watch your ESPNs or anything. No shade to nobody. But sometimes I need to get in the streets.
Have to.
I need to see what the people are talking about. They got this thing in Minnesota where they howl. They'd be like, yeah, come on, you know, we taking calls. Everybody could howl. And they, ooh, They do that's their thing in Minnesota. They do a little howling when they get on the radio.
Bring gas.
Oh, classic. Classic, man. Come on, man. Ant-Man, let's go.
He's amazing.
That's my dog, man. That's my dog.
We have lake howls on the lake where people will start howling at night. Once or twice a year.
You guys got wolves?
I feel like that's cultish, though.
No, this is
that feels a little culty to me.
No, it's like you bring your kids out and everyone basically you howl at the moon and you can hear it all over the lake, but because of water it carries.
Yeah.
So you can hear people all over the lake howling. It's fun.
Do you guys have wolves over there? Like any creatures?
No. I mean they're
stupid ass questions.
The proper use of a button right there. No, I mean, I think wolves are around a little bit, but you worry more about mountain lions. There are coyotes for sure.
See, that's what I was thinking,
foxes.
Right? Because I've told this story before. I used to work at this middle school, and part of my job was, coyotes come on the campus, you gotta be ready to handle that if need be. However I handle, I ain't got to go fight the coyote, but keep the kids away from them. Make sure the blacktop is clear.
Kenny versus a coyote.
I gotta go out there and get the kids off of there and be the adult that's on the blacktop.
Sure.
Everybody, and I'm no. I will yell from the office, "Hey, get off the blacktop! There's a coyote out there. I ain't gonna be out there so he can chase me."
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Everyone inside. There's a coyote.
Absolutely not. No chance.
But yeah, they understood. That's my people over there at Pioneer Middle School, Tustin, California. You know what it is.
That's amazing.
Shout out.
Yeah, but shout out to the Wolves, man. They did it, man. I picked them to win the series to begin with, but I thought it would be in six.
Yeah.
And once Denver won those three straight, I just stayed with the pick because that's what I picked. But I was like, oh, it's looking bleak right now, especially after that game five, man. That game five,
was tough.
Yeah.
I think Mike Conley being out hurt them a lot, though.
Yeah,
in that game.
Yeah, for sure. For sure,
they just never felt like they got steady.
For sure, and then I know I'll talk about it on the show, but I know your boy, man, the snake oil salesman, man. What he was talking about after game five, it's not that he was wrong. It's the way he talks. Everybody gets things wrong.
Sure,
it's the way he talks. That was a dumbass thing to say. We'll talk.
Stupid ass questions.
That's just the truth, dog.
We got so many. Dude, Carl Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards are going to supply a lot of. The longer they are on this playoff run, the more drops we will get from them. What do you guys got coming up?
Playoffs, man. Playoffs. And I learned what a front runner is yesterday. I'll explain it.
I cannot wait for this. D'Lo and Casey coming up next. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders. We'll be back with you tomorrow at 10 a.m. right here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. Boop!
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.